from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, here are the programs for today's edition on Thursday, January the 4th, 2018. As usual, we will begin with the news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. And we will end today's edition, as usual, with the music program called Music Corner. Listener, that is our program for today. So, stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi receives Italian Foreign Affairs Minister Angelino Alfano. The United Nations views implementation on human rights in Indonesia to have progressed. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi received Italian Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation Angelino Alfano at Pancasila Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 7th. Minister Angelino Alfano visited Indonesia in a series of his visits to Southeast Asia, and Indonesia is the first country which was visited before other countries. In a press conference after bilateral meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that they discussed various efforts to improve bilateral relations between Indonesia and Italy.
Dalam suasana pertemuan bilateral yang bersahabat, kami
in a friendly situation of the bilateral meeting, we discussed various efforts to improve bilateral relations such as Indonesian palm oil export to Europe and then creative economy and interfaith dialogue.
Ekonomi kreatif seperti yang saya sampaikan tadi dan juga mengenai interfaith dialogue.
Related to Indonesian palm oil export, Minister Retno Marsudi added that Italy is the most important country and third export destination country for Indonesia's palm oil to Europe. Therefore, Indonesian palm oil also has contribution on Italian economy. She also hopes that Italy can explain to the European Union parliamentary to consider the lifting of restrictions on the use of Indonesian palm oil for biodiesel starting in 2021. The restriction will bring about serious impact on Indonesia as the biggest palm oil producer in the world, especially palm oil farmers. The United Nations for Human Rights High Commissioner Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein said that the UN, through United Nations Commission for Human Rights, views that the implementation of human rights in Indonesia has made significant progress. The progress can be seen from the government's efforts to implement human rights on universal health for the community, including the goals of sustainable development in the National Human Rights Action Plan. In addition, the existence of National Commission for Human Rights and Women, which is strong and independent, also becomes supporting factors of the progress of human rights implementation in Indonesia. This was stated by Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein in a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 7th.
The government has embraced the Sustainable Development Goals, incorporating them into its National Human Rights Action Plan. Indonesia has made considerable progress on the realization of the right to health, expanding universal health coverage. And it has provided the space and resources for Komnas HAM and Komnas Perempuan to be strong, independent national human rights institutions.
Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein also highlighted Indonesia's role in human rights implementation in Southeast Asian region. He said that Indonesia is the most progressive country in Southeast Asia, related to the implementation of human rights. It is proven with Indonesia's active involvement in the adverse conditions experienced by Rohingya Muslims in Rakhine, Myanmar, which are praiseworthy and indispensable. The years of 2018 and 2019 are political years in Indonesia. In the years, two great events, namely regional head election and presidential election, will be held. Vice Chairman of National Economic and Industrial Committee Arief Budimanta said that based on study of Economist Intelligence Unit, there is no political risk which is relatively significant to doubt the ability of Indonesia in managing its economy and government. At a public discussion with theme Synergy of Trading Industry based on Commodity Warehouse Receipt System and Commodity Auction Market in the Era of Digital Trading in Encouraging National Economic Growth, which was held in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 7, Arief Budimanta explained that Economist Intelligence Unit viewed that it is optimistic with Indonesia's economic prospect in 2018 and 2019. The study is in line with roundtable and expert panel of the committee, which concluded that in the political context, the election of regional head does not cause economic risk.
Jadi intinya di tahun 2018 ini tidak perlu ada keraguan perhitungan politik, ya.
The point is that in 2018, there is no need of political chaos in Indonesia. Although ahead of the presidential election, it will be a little heating up, but that usually happens everywhere, not just in Indonesia. In the political context as well, most regions are closer to us. Malaysia is going ahead for the election. But in some major countries such as America, Germany, and China, all the process has been completed. So regional politics as well as geopolitics globally take place as a whole. They are driving machines of major changes in geopolitical imbalance. All of these are relatively completed.
Perubahan utama dalam ketidakseimbangan geopolitik relatif sudah selesai.
Arief Budimanta hopes that something bad will not happen in the future. Until now, trend shows positive thing. On the same occasion, Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita asserted that the prospect and economic growth in Indonesia in political years is no doubt. He is optimistic that in the political years, money will circulate more and consumption will increase. The minister also guaranteed that the government will strictly control the economy in the political years. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Vice Chairman of National Economic and Industrial Committee Arief Budimanta appreciated the success of the government through Trade Ministry to protect inflation, especially on staple food. The success is in accordance with the hope of the House of Representatives DPR, which wants the number of the inflation is lower compared with other inflations. Because the inflation of staple food directly brings about impact on people with middle to lower economic level. This was stated by Arief Budimanta at a public discussion themed Synergy of Trading Industry based on Commodity Warehouse Receipt System and Commodity Auction Market in the Era of Digital Trading in Encouraging National Economic Growth, which was held in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 7.
Yang ingin kami sampaikan adalah ini sekaligus juga
we want to say and to appreciate because we at the Committee of National Economy and Industry, the minister are very concerned with the inflation because the inflation does influence our community's consumption. This influences our purchasing power. And thanks God, since led by Mr. Enggar, the inflation of staple food is lower compared to other inflations. Furthermore, Arief Budimanta said that the success to protect the inflation of staple food is an extraordinary achievement and the result of the government policies instrument, which is considered controversial in the market. The data showed that the policy instrument has succeeded to reduce the number of staple food inflation. He also reminded that in the future there will be trend of rising food prices. The rising food prices are caused by some factors such as rising production and global prices. In the same occasion, Minister of Trade Enggar Tiasto Lukita said the success of keeping inflation in 2017, positive economic growth and increased ease of doing business is the harmonization of various ministries. The Ministry of Trade, along with Bank Indonesia and the Financial Services Authority, will conduct a series of meetings to take steps and decisions regarding the use of digital currency. in a discussion themed Synergy of Trading Industry Based on Commodity, Warehouse, Receipt System, and Commodity Auction Market in the Era of Digital Trading in Encouraging National Economic Growth, which was held in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 7. Minister of Trade Enggartias Tolukita explained that cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin is rampant in Indonesia. Thus, the government cannot keep being silent, but the government must take a number of decisions. However, Minister Enggar ensures that digital currency cannot be used as a means of payment in Indonesia. But certainly, Bitcoin as a payment tool cannot be used. I can say that it is almost certain. There is no underline and so on. We do not know the form or the person. It is so a lot now and so rampant. Minister Enggar Tiasto further explained that some options have been included in the considerations for decision-making. On the same occasion, Vice Chairman of the National Economic and Industrial Committee, KEIN, Arief Budimanta, is grateful that digital currency in Indonesia is prohibited from using it. He views that this digital currency is not clear and moving on the basis of expectations. Indonesia has one of the strongest economic fundamentals in the ASEAN region, as shown by low debt, moderate inflation, stable governance, and marginal political risk. This year, Indonesia's economy is expected to rebound to 5.3 to 5.4% due to consumption recovery and continuing infrastructure investment. In the World Bank's January 2018 edition of its Global Economic Prospect GEP report, Indonesia's economic growth is considered stable at 5.3% year-on-year in the 2018-2020 period. One of the key reasons why the World Bank expects a solid jump to 5.3% year-on-year is that the GDP growth for Indonesia in 2018 and beyond is due to the nation's household consumption, which is estimated to improve on the back of rising wages. Meanwhile, rising commodity prices are also expected to boost the economy of the Southeast Asian largest economy. Indonesia is one of the world's big commodity exporters. And the last item, Agriculture Ministry and the Food and Agriculture Organization FAO of the United Nations have chosen four areas in Indonesia as places of pilot project to cope with the spread of contagious zoonosis. At a discussion in Jakarta on Wednesday, the National Technical Advisor for One Health and Zoonosis Control of FAO Indonesia, Andri Jatikusuma, said that Bengkalis in Riau, Ketapang in West Kalimantan, Boyolali in Surajava, and Minahasa in North Sulawesi have been chosen as places for pilot project. Zoonosis is a contagious disease that could spread from animals to human beings. Andri also said that prevention and eradication of zoonosis and new emerging infectious disease in the four areas is to be handled with One Health approach together with the Directorate General of Animal Husbandry and Animal Health of the Agriculture Ministry. Meanwhile, FAO and the Agriculture Ministry would seek to improve the capacity of field officials to prevent the spread of zoonosis and EID, which are a deadly disease in Indonesia. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi receives Italian Foreign Affairs Minister Angelino Alfano. The United Nations views implementation on human rights in Indonesia to have progressed. And listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Regulation Simplification Boosts Activities of Oil and Gas Sector. To boost the activities of oil and gas sector, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, is revoking 32 regulations in the sector of oil and gas. Therefore, it is expected to boost investment, economic growth, and employment. The policy is distributed in the oil and gas subsectors such as minerals, coal, electricity, renewable energy, and energy conservation. In addition, the ministry also simplifies the regulation on the special unit of upstream oil and gas business activities called domestically SKK Migas. This step is a government effort to eliminate the obstacle that had been a stumbling block, especially for entrepreneurs. Thus, investment is expected to grow as expected by the government and the people. Minister of the SDM, Ignatius Jonan, said that the government through the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources will continue to implement the strategy so that the business sector is getting better and better. The efforts to facilitate investment through the revocation or simplification of regulations and licenses will continue to be encouraged. Of the 32 regulations revoked, 11 are from the oil and gas sector. Secretary General of the SDM, Igo Sarial, explained that some business people complain about some irrelevant regulation that must be simplified. Meanwhile, the regulation of the ESDM that are not reformed cover derivatives of the mandate of the Constitution on the management of natural resources as much as possible for the welfare of Indonesian people. Head of the SKK Migas, Amin Sunaryadi, said that there are a number of points that hamper the investment rate of upstream oil and gas sector. There is still a pending or unrealized investment today due to exploration problems to find oil reserves. The reason is that the world oil prices are very cheap nowadays. In addition, there is also impact on the regulation. Amin Suryadi explained that the government has issued a regulation that is expected to create favorable conditions for investment in the oil and gas sector. The government is pursuing economic growth of 5.5% by 2018. Thus, various efforts are carried out by the stakeholders to boost some sectors. The revocation of 32 regulations that hamper economic acceleration, particularly in the fields of oil and gas and renewable energy, is an option that is considered significant today, especially in meeting the target of economic growth. Although the macroeconomic indicators are now improving, the reality is that this is not high economic growth. The policy of regulation simplification is expected to boost investment activities across Indonesia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listeners. It's nice to be at you again in our regular program Today in History of a Radio Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on February 8, 1904, about Fort Arthur Sea Battle. Fort Arthur Sea Battle was opening battle between Russia and Japan. The battle was begun with a sudden attack at night by the Japanese destroyer squadron on the Russian fleet, which was docked in Fort Arthur, Manchuria, and continued by a great battle in the morning. The battle ended without result, and small battles surrounding Fort Arthur continued until May 1904. In the wood, the Japanese mobilized 15 more ships and explorers and escort ships. 90 people were killed, while Russia destroyed 12 warships and explorers. The number of casualties reached 150 people and 7 ships were damaged. And the next event is that in 1971, the first electronic stock exchange, Nasdaq, was opened in the United States. Nasdaq, or National Association of Securities Dealers Automated Quotations, was a stock exchange operated by the National Association of Securities Dealers. When it started trading on February 8, 1971, Nasdaq was the world's first electronic stock exchange. Since 1999, Nasdaq was the largest stock exchange in the United States of America. More than half of the companies that traded in the U.S. were recorded here. Nasdaq consisted of Nasdaq National Market and Nasdaq Small Cap Market. Its main exchanges were located in the United States with branches in Canada and Japan. Nasdaq also had association with stock exchange in Hong Kong and Europe. on July 17, 1995, Nasdaq closed at a level above 1,000 points for the first time. The fee occurred on March 10, 2000, on which the index reached 5,048.62 points. On September 11, 2001, the result of Nasdaq terrorist attack was closed from 11 to 14 September 2001. And the last event is that in 2005, it was the announcement of the Israeli-Palestinian ceasefire. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon at the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh on February 8, 2005, announced a ceasefire to end 4 years of violence in the Middle East. Abbas said that the ceasefire, which began soon, would lead to a new era of peace and hope. Meanwhile, Sharon vowed to start military action against Palestinian targets after militants stopped violence. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said that this was the best chance for peace over years. But Sharon and Abbas did not sign a formal ceasefire agreement. Their talks were extensive, including agreements on the release of Palestinian prisoners and handover of the five West Bank cities to Palestinian control. The meeting at the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh was a high-level discussion between the two sides since the Palestinian Intifada began more than 4 years earlier. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to the segment of My Indonesia. The title of today's edition is Indonesian President Joko Widodo recognizes significant progress in handling land and forest fire. In a coordinating meeting of Forest and Land Fire Control 2018, which took place in Jakarta on Tuesday, February 6, President Joko Widodo reiterated the commitment of governors, regions, mayors, TNI leaders, and Polri leaders in their respective areas to protect their territory from fire. The statement was conveyed by the president considering that this year's weather conditions are estimated to be drier compared to last year. All parties are demanded to be prepared. In addition, along with the implementation of the Asian Games in August, Indonesia is predicted to enter the dry season. President Joko Widodo asserted, "This is spitting of Indonesia's reputation in the eyes of the international world. If there is smoke that may disrupt the implementation of Asian Games event." Moreover, the president also said, "The land and forest fires can be prevented if all parties can work together so that it is no longer to become national disaster and international spotlight." Learning from forest and land fires in 2015, President Joko Widodo greatly appreciated within 2 years there has been a significant progress in controlling the case. He said there is a very significant reduction of hotspots. By 2015, the number of hotspots reached 21,929 points, in 2016 down to 3,915, and in 2017 down to 2,567 hotspots. President Joko Widodo said that at the Asian Summit, the Prime Minister of Malaysia and Singapore usually complain about smoke, but this year, Indonesia received appreciation from the two countries. Learning from the forest and land fires in 2015, the Indonesian government has established early detection system of fire prevention since 2017. In the system, there has been shown daily hotspot data and fire map that people can access through Siponyi, www.menlhk.go.id page. In addition, an integrated system has also been built among the related stakeholders' parties in handling the land and forest fire. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry, in cooperation with the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency and the National Aeronautics and Space Agency LAPAN, have facilitated detection and monitoring. The regional governments and business people have conducted fire prevention efforts with standard operating procedures that are defined in terms of facilities and personnel and unfueled land clearing techniques. They also establish and foster a fire-caring society so that people are aware of the importance of self-prevention effort. That was My Indonesia from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi received Italian Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation Angelino Alfano at Pancasila Building in Jakarta on Wednesday, February the 7th. The United Nations for Human Rights High Commissioner Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein said that the UN through United Nations Commission for Human Rights views that the implementation of human rights in Indonesia has made significant progress. The progress can be seen from the government's efforts to implement human rights on universal health of community, including the Sustainable Development Goals in the National Human Rights Action Plan. The years of 2018 and 2019 are political years in Indonesia. In the years, two great events, namely regional head election and presidential election, will be held. Vice Chairman of National Economic and Industrial Committee Arief Budimanta said that based on a study of Economist Intelligence Unit, there is no political risk which is relatively significant to doubt the ability of Indonesia in managing its economy and government. Vice Chairman of National Economic and Industrial Committee Arief Budimanta appreciated the success of the government through Trade Ministry to protect inflation, especially on staple food. The Ministry of Trade, along with Bank Indonesia and the Financial Services Authority, will conduct a series of meetings to take steps and decisions regarding the use of digital currency. Indonesia has one of the strongest economic fundamentals in the ASEAN region, as shown by low debt, moderate inflation, stable governance, and marginal political risk. And the last item, Agriculture Ministry and the Food of Agriculture Organization, FAO, of the United Nations have chosen four areas in Indonesia as places of pilot project to cope with the spread of contagious zoonosis. And listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Gua Sarang in Aceh Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Sabang is one of the cities in Aceh Province. The city is located in north part of Sumatra Island, with Weh Island as its largest island. Talking about tourism, Sabang have a variety of beautiful tourist attractions, ranging from mountain tourism to the beach tourism. For those who like adventure tours, Sabang also offers Sarang Cave Tour that is currently famous among Aceh people. Sarang Cave offers its natural beauty. It is called Sarang Cave because the cave becomes swiftlet nest for a long time. It is located in Iboy Village, Sukakarya District, Sabang City. Listener, to reach Sarang Cave from Banda Aceh, the capital city of Aceh province, you have to board BRR boat or Express Bahari speed boat to Sabang City. Once you arrive at Balohan Port, 20 kilometers from Banda Aceh, you can go directly to Ibwe village. From the village, you can continue the trips to Sarang Cave tourism destination, which takes about a half to 1 hour. Along the way, you will be treated by natural scenery of the mountains, the expanse of the blue sea, the economic activities of the local people and the residential village. Arriving at the tourist site, the fresh air of the mountain will directly greet you. The cave is located at the foot of the cliffs and hills of protected forest in Wei Island, which jutting in the blue sea. To enter the tourism area, you are required to pay entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah only. And entering to the inside of the object, you can directly try your adrenaline by climbing two swings, which are located at an altitude with the background of a group of small islands. If you have more guts, please go down the steps where the boats are tethered. You can contact the officer and pay a special tariff to follow the Sarang Cave. You can choose a trekking path by foot to reach several sides of the cave, or rent a motorized boat to witness the charm of the seven mouths of the cave from the sea. If you choose to rent a fiberglass motorized boat, you are charged for 200,000 rupiah per boat, with a capacity of 11 passengers. Listener, by using the boat, you can walk around for about half an hour around seven cave mouths and mountain rocks that emerge from the bottom of the sea. You also can take the moments on various interesting and beautiful photo spots. Besides selfie, Sarang Cave also offers other interesting tourist activities such as swimming, snorkeling, and diving. Moreover, the location of this tourism object is often used as a place to camp. For those who like camping, you have to pay from 200,000 rupiah to 300,000 rupiah fees. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful Today entitled Sarang Cave from Aceh Province. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tibetan language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tibetan language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tibetan speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tibetan language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tibetan language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tibetan language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tibetan language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tibetan language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tibetan language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tibetan language. Ngu, ngu, in English. I, ntricha, ntricha, in English. They, one, want, in English. Eat, nasre, nasre, in English. Popeda, moghot, moghot, in English. Mount, rechau, rechau, in English. To hike, rora, rora, in English. Yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tibetan language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English. I eat popeda. Rora ntrica mogot recau. Rora ntrica mogot recau. In English. Yesterday, they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tibetan language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian female singer Christine Panjaitan. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Katakan Sejujurnya. Happy listening.
Pernah ku rasakan artinya rindu.
Just listen to the song entitled Katakan Sejujurnya by Christine Panjaitan, who has a complete name, Christine Natalina Panjaitan. She became to be a popular singer in the Indonesian music lovers since she dedicated the song Katakan Sejujurnya. The song, which was composed by Rinto Harahap, released in 1987. The song tells about something hidden and has not been revealed. However, the woman wants to know what is felt by the beloved one, whether the same feeling or only one-sided feeling. This song was popular and always remembered all the time. Many musicians in Indonesia have arranged back the song, Katakan Sejujurnya. One of them is Armada Band that released the song in 2014. Listener, wherever you are, let's listen to the next song entitled Sudah Kubilang by Christine Panjaitan. Enjoy the song.
Yang penuh
Listener Christian Panjaitan reached her golden era in the 1980s. In addition to the song Katakan Sejujurnya, the singer, who was born on December 23, 1960, also has another hit songs, Sudah Kubilang, as you have just listened before. The song gives a message to all of us as human beings in order not to obey the wishes of heart and wishful thinking. If in reality, the beloved one is the right person, then she or he will always be there for you. Well, listener, to conclude the segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Untuk Mama and Kau, Dia, dan Aku by Christine Panjaitan. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
bukan milikku. Dan kau jangan termenung, pasti akan sampai bila kau daki.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.